This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 8th chapter. No. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 10th chapter, text 9. Maschita Bhagata Prana
Maschita Bhagata Prana
Odhayanta Paraskaram
Odhayanti Paraskaram
Katayantaschimam Nityam
Katayantaschimam Nityam
Kushanti Charamanti Char Maschita Bhagata Prana
Maschita Bhagata
Prana Odhayanta Paraskaram Katayantaschimam Nityam Kushanti Charamanti Char. It's 10th chapter, text 10. Question of Yan. Machchita Magata Prana
Machchita Magata Prana
Otayanta Paraskaram
Otayanta
Paraskaram Katayanta
Shchamanityam
Kushanti Charamantika. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Okay. Maybe you want to move up a little bit so that those who come in can have space behind. This harmonium can move here. You go up here. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental love service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted to the lotus feet of Krishna. Their thoughts are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. The devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing them with other devotees. Om Ajana Timiran Pasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Mayam Rupapadha Manikam Bhati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Shabrajatam Sahagana Gaganatam Vikamastam Sabhidam Shadvaitam Savadhutam Vrijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Shadana Vikam Sri Vishakandhikamsa He Krishna Karana Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopita Kanta Sadar Tatakam Shanabogami Gadhe Vrindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Naramami Hovi Priye Vanchako Pitarubhyascha Upasindho Vyayevacha Pratitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Much chitta, madhita, prana, bhotayanta, parasparam, tatayantas, jamam, nityam, tushanti, cha, ravanti, cha. This is the life of pure devotional service. Much chitta. To think of Krishna. To think of Krishna. The pure devotees take pleasure in always thinking of Krishna. Madgata prana. They dedicated their lives to Krishna. And bodhyanta parasparam. They enlighten one another about Krishna. In business, we talk with one another about business affairs. In politics, there's so many things to talk about. In so many departments of life, there's so many things to talk about. But real talking begins when we talk about Krishna. Real talking begins when we talk about Krishna. Because the other things will come and go. Business will come and go. Politics will come and go. Newspaper topics, whatever is in the news today, will be gone tomorrow. These are temporary matters. But Krishna and our relationship with Krishna are eternal. And to revive that relationship is the real business of life. And when we become advanced in that way of life, then we enjoy the highest happiness. The happiness to be found in material things doesn't actually make anyone happy. Yadanta Bhanta Kamteya Nateshu Ramateya. That happiness comes and goes. It has a beginning and an end. And therefore Krishna says that an intelligent person doesn't take pleasure in that kind of happiness. That's okay. Thank you. The pure devotees like Narad Muni travels all over the universe. Narad Muni, Vajrayvina, Radhika Ramana. Travels all over the universe chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Radhika Ramana, chanting the glories of the Lord. And he's enjoying. And he brings happiness to others. This is the engagement of the pure devotees. And even without being on the advanced stage, we can begin this process. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, devotees relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. To be connected with Krishna and to be serving Krishna is itself a pleasure. And in the advanced stage, in the mature stage, the devotees are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand the devotional service. That happened in the life of Narayana. He was a small child, the son of a maidservant, and somehow some pure devotees spent the rainy season at one place, and Narad Muni was assisting his mother in rendering service to these sages, these devotees. And just by hearing them, talking about Krishna, discussing Krishna Katha, he became attracted. The topics are so attractive that he became attractive. He was just a small boy, but by hearing about Krishna, he became attracted to Krishna. Because he was hearing from pure devotees, it acted like an electrical current that goes from one person to another. So the current was flowing in them, and he came in touch with it, so now the current was affecting him also. And he became the great devotee Narada. This devotional service is just like a seed, and it is sown in the heart of the living entity. And if he goes on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular water. Ramite kon bhaktivanji, Guru Krishna prasade bhaya bhaktivata. It's a very good fortune if one gets this seed of devotional service. Any plant, like suppose you want to grow a mango tree, or you want to grow a jhampak tree, or any, if you want to grow these lata, like this, what is it called? I've forgotten the name of the flower. Anyway, these flowers growing on these climbing vines. So if you want to get that jasmine, suppose, then you have to plant the seed. First you have to get the seed, then you plant it in the good ground, and then you have to water it, and then it grows, and after a while you get very fragrant flowers. So in the same way, one needs to start by getting the seed of Krishna consciousness. How do we get that seed? We get the seed from a pure devotee of Krishna. Therefore, we want to associate with devotees of Krishna and come in touch with a devotee who's received that seed and who can give that seed to us also, planting it in the heart. And then what is the watering of that seed? Do you know what that watering is? You know? You don't know? Yeah. Who knows what is the watering for that seed? Yes, hearing and chanting. By hearing and chanting, just as you take a seed, it's planted, that's all right, but now we have to give regular water so that the seed will grow. So this regular water is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Regularly chanting. If we chant every day, then we begin to make more spiritual progress. And the more we chant, the more we make progress. Regular watering, regularly watering. And then you see how the plant starts to grow. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahmajyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. This material world is described in the Bhagavad Gita as being only 1/4 of the kingdom of God. This is a small covered portion of the kingdom of God in which we're living now. It's that portion which is the place of so much struggle in the cycle of repeated birth and death. Now, if you go beyond this material world, you'll come to the Brahmajyoti. The Brahmajyoti is like a great expanse of light. Just as we have the sky which is filled with the sunshine, so in the spiritual world we have the Krishna shine, the effulgence that comes from the transcendental body of Lord Krishna is called the Brahmajyoti, or the spiritual effulgence. In the material world, everything's dark. At night, the whole world goes dark. Only when the sun comes do we get light. Otherwise, it's dark. If you have to light a match, or a candle, or a torch, or put on the lights, or there has to be a sun, or the moon. Otherwise, absent any of those, the world is dark. But the spiritual world is always bright. So by hearing and chanting, the plant grows and grows and grows, all the way out of the material world, into the spiritual Brahmajyoti. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. In that Brahmajyoti, there are so many planets, which are called Vaikuntha planets, or planets, just as there are planets in this world, Neptune, Uranus, Venus, so many. So in the spiritual world also, there are so many planets, and those planets are called Vaikuntha planets. On each one of them, the Lord is present in His expansion as Narayan, and there are so many devotees worshipping Narayan with great respect and great reverence. And then if you go higher, higher still, you come to the Goloka Vrindavan planet. Goloka namni nijadami tale chatasya devi mahesha haridhamashu teshu teshu. The Brahma Samhita describes there's the Devi Tham, the material world, then there's Mahesh Tham, the world of Lord Shiva, then there's Hari Tham, the Vaikuntha planets where Lord Narayan is there, and higher than all is Goloka Vrindavan, the personal abode of Lord Krishna. So the plant goes to Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyavila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. See how far this is from our present position. Right now, I'm worried about how to get a dollar. I'm worried about so many difficulties, so many concerns. How to support my family, what about my son's education? What about this? What about that? What about my health? What about so many things that concern us?
This is our dream life. This is not our waking life. In waking life, we don't have those anxieties. We have our eternal relationship with Krishna. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this process of reviving our love of Krishna as being like the growth of the plants. The plant grows, it grows, it grows, it grows. Finally it comes right up to the lotus feet of Krishna. And there it becomes, it takes shelter. It takes shelter. It becomes eternally situated in relationship with Krishna and in company with Krishna. And what goes on in the spiritual world? Again, more hearing and chanting. What we're doing here in this temple is not just a ritual, it's not just a religious service. This is the eternal activity of the spiritual world. If you go to the, when you go, not if, you should go, but when you go to the spiritual world, you'll find that the spiritual world is full of devotees who are chanting the glories of Krishna. It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The glories of Krishna means they're chanting the holy name of Krishna. They're chanting about Krishna's activities, speaking about Krishna's activities, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's associates, everything, Krishna, Krishna. Just like in we read from Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna was playing as a cowherd boy. And in the course of the day, so many things happen. Maybe some demon comes practically every day. Some demon comes, like Aristasura, Bakasura, Arkasura. So many asuras, so many demons. And in the course of playing, Krishna will dispatch those demons. Just like the horse demon, Krishna shoved his fist into the horse's mouth. Demon appeared, because these demons have mystic powers, so they can take different forms. So the demon took the form of a huge horse and was terrorizing Vrindavan village. So then Krishna came and challenged the horse. And a horse, how do you control a horse? By the teeth, right? So Krishna, he wasn't just going to play with the horse. He took his fist and boom, just put it down the demon's throat, and the demon dies. So every day Krishna was doing something like that, killing one demon, killing another demon, or playing in so many wonderful ways. Playing in Govardhan Hill, playing in the different forests, Dwadasha, Kana, there are 12 different forests in Vrindavan. Krishna would go from one to another, herding his cows and having fun with his cowherd boyfriends. And at the end of the day, the cowherd boys come back with the cows and with Krishna. And then their boys are telling their mothers, oh, Krishna killed this demon today. Oh, Krishna was playing like this today. Oh, Krishna was dressed like that today. There's so many things they'll tell. And the parents are saying, oh, Krishna killed a demon just like that? Yes, yes, just in this way. So they'll take pleasure in hearing about the activities of Krishna, speaking about the activities of Krishna. When Krishna was stealing butter, then that was one of Krishna's pastimes. He would sneak into the houses of the late local people. And this is a cowherd village, so they're keeping milk, butter, especially the butter they're keeping hanging in pots. And Krishna would come with his friends and raid the stock. They would steal the butter, and they would eat the butter, and they would, when they were so full, they would distribute the butter to the monkeys. And in this way, they were enjoying great fun. There's a stealing propensity in this material world also. The world is full of so many people who like to steal. So that propensity is there in God also. He's the original thief. Here, of course, when they're stealing, then you engage a security company, you try to steal. So there also, they try to hang their butter in a place where Krishna can't reach it. They try this way, that way. But Krishna, he overcomes all obstacles and he gets the butter. And then the ladies come, the housewives come to the house of Nanda Maharaj Yashoda Mayi to complain that your Krishna is sitting here looking just like a very innocent boy, but actually he's doing all of these things. Stealing the butter, making holes in the pot, distributing the butter to all of the monkeys, teasing our children also. He's causing so much, he's just a troublemaker. Then Yashoda Mayi says, well, I can tie him up, I can do this. I said, no, that's all right. They say, we put the butter in a dark place, but these boys have some jewels, and the jewels create some light, and they find their way. No, I can take off the jewels. No, that's all right. So the ladies, superficially, they're coming to complain, but actually they're coming to talk about the glories of Krishna. They're enjoying. Actually, it's enjoyable. Here in the material world, if someone steals from your house, it's not very enjoyable. But when Krishna, if Krishna steals from you, that's enjoyment. The ladies are waiting. When will Krishna come and steal from my stock? So that I can complain about him also. That complaining is also chanting about Krishna. Out of love. So many mischievous things Krishna is doing. But the whole Vrindavan is enchanted by these activities of Krishna. Krishna endears everyone to him by his pastimes. Sometimes they appear like the activities of an ordinary child, and sometimes they're extraordinary. Krishna's lifting the Govardhan hill. No ordinary child can do this. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can do all of these wonderful things. And still we're talking about these things. These are not simply mythological stories. The great sages like Narad Muni, Sukadeva Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not waste time just talking about fictional stories. For those who have deep spiritual understanding, they can understand that these are the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's one prayer, one devotee is expressing his astonishment that the Supreme Absolute Truth, who's sought by the yogis in their heart by meditation, who's worshipped by the great sages, who's the object of speculation by the gyanis, that same Supreme Truth is playing as a child in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Dhameti Paramatmeti Bhagavanti. The same all-pervading absolute that's present everywhere as the impersonal Brahma, who's present in the heart of everyone as the Paramatma. That same absolute is finally the personality of Godhead, and he's playing just like a child in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So the devotees enjoy tushyanti cha. They feel satisfaction. In the material world, tripyanti neha, kripada bhutu prapaja. We're trying so many things for happiness, but our hearts are never satisfied. Tripyanti neha. It's not possible to be satisfied in this material world. But when we come to Krishna, then the heart becomes satisfied very easily. By talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna. Then the heart becomes satisfied. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. The Lord is never alone. We hear about God. God is so great. God is so mighty. God is so powerful. God is so merciful. God is this God. But God is not alone. God is never alone. God is always with his devotees. And God is always enjoying the relationship with the devotees. The Lord plays with some devotees like a master for a servant. He plays with some devotees as a child. He plays with some devotees as their friend. He plays with some devotees as husband or lover. Whatever relationships may be found in this material world are originally found in Krishna. And we can learn about these relationships, hear about these relationships from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the great book that gives the science of Krishna in relishable detail. And therefore, we are recommended, Pivata Bhagavatam. Just drink Srimad Bhagavatam. Who here has read something of Srimad Bhagavatam? Who's read something of Srimad Bhagavatam? Huh? I know some of you. Come on. Who's read something of Srimad Bhagavatam? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you'll find so much nectar in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you haven't yet read Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can begin. It's presented in 12 cantos, and Srila Prabhupada gave it in installments. You know, you don't have to read everything at once, it's too big. But just if you begin reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll get so much nectar, and you become conversant with the science of Krishna. We consider it very important to be concerned, to be conversant with business, news, sports news, political news. But the news of Krishna's, of the science of Krishna, is the real business of life. And that's found in Srimad Bhagavatam. So everyone can take advantage, even if you read every day, one page, 2 pages, 3 pages. You get so much value. You get so much value. The return on investment is beyond calculation. You invest a little time for reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and you get so much knowledge and so much enjoyment also. And ultimately you get freedom from material existence. And you'll get love for Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. As stated in the Bhagavatam itself, Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priya. Vaishnavanam Priya. In this narration, there's nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation, Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and young girl take pleasure in association. Maybe I'll stop there and see if you have any questions you might like to ask. Yes.
You can say that Krishna consciousness is the higher taste. It's the more taste than the more than this taste.
You're competing against the fan, so you have to speak loudly.
You can say that Krishna consciousness is the higher taste. So I wanted to know if this taste is directly connected to Krishna himself.
It's said that Krishna consciousness is the higher taste. Could you hear the rest, Kevin?
Yes, he said he'd like to know if the taste is connected to Krishna himself.
Is the taste connected to Krishna himself? Yes. The original Raso Vaisaha, it's said in Vedic literature that the source of all taste is Krishna. Just in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rasoham Hapsukantiya. You like to drink water. And one attractive feature of the water is the taste. The taste of water, you know, they can make Coca-Cola, they can make so many other things. But pure water itself is so tasty. Isn't it? Now Krishna says, I'm the taste of the water. We're all drinking water, especially in this season. We all drink a lot of water. And do you think that when I'm drinking that water, there's a nice taste, and the taste of that water is Krishna? The taste of the water is Krishna. They advertise pure water, spring water, this water, that water. But the water is attractive because it has a nice, refreshing taste. Krishna says, I'm that taste. So while you're drinking water, you can be Krishna conscious. Because you're coming in touch with Krishna. That's Krishna says, I'm there as the taste. Even in this material world. And when you go to the spiritual world, there's so much more to taste. In the direct personal company, just as you're sitting here, I'm sitting here face to face, you can be with Krishna face to face. And how much taste there be. Is that okay? Something else? Shall we stop here? Thank you. Oh, there is a question.
What is the reason that one, after understanding so many things, still he doesn't get the taste for Krishna?
After understanding so many things, why don't we get a taste for Krishna consciousness, for the holy name of Krishna? Lord Chaitanya says, Durdaiva, because of misfortune. Durdaiva mitrashimihajanihara, because of our misfortune. What is that misfortune? I have a taste for so many other things. Suppose if there's a celebration in the temple, but if there's a big soccer match that day, then so many people will say, no, you can go, but I'm staying here because I have to see the soccer match. He has the opportunity to associate with Krishna by hearing and chanting his holy name, but he's more attached to watching some men kick a ball from one side of the field to another. And therefore, you go, I have something to do. So everyone has something to do. So many people could come. Temple could fit 100 more people. Or we could have people all day and night coming and going. But everyone's busy. Everyone's busy. Someone's watching television, someone's doing this, someone's doing that. We're diving. Unfortunately, we're more attached to something else. So Krishna consciousness means to become more attached to Krishna. Then so many things we can just forget about because they're useless. And the other things, we connect them with Krishna. My family life, my work life, everything, I connect with Krishna. And if it has no connection, if it's useless, then why should I waste my time? So, when we associate with those who are too attached to material things, we become attached to material things. Like an infection. Infection spreads from one person to the next. But if we associate with those who are too attached to the project of trying to enjoy this material world, we become attached like that. And on the other hand, when we associate with devotees of Krishna, we become attached to Krishna. So therefore we're advised to try to associate all of us with Krishna's devotees. And then we'll get that taste. We'll get that taste. This whole Hare Krishna movement is meant for that. Provide an opportunity for devotees to associate with one another and become more attached to Krishna. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.